Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every region under heaven living in Jerusalem, and all at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked each, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moons to blood before the coming of the Lord, great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Again, as I just alluded to a second ago, today is Pentecost Sunday. It is nearly 50 days since we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus arose from the grave. And this is the day spoken of in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit poured down on the apostles. And the apostles, the apostles led by Simon Peter, preached the first good news, the first gospel sermon. And thousands of people gave their lives to Jesus Christ by being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the birth of the church that we are now a part of today in 2019. In this first gospel sermon, Peter preached about Jesus Christ and the implications of his death and resurrection. And he speaks of a new world order being ushered in by the Holy Spirit that had just taken possession of them as they sat in a house praying. And because of Jesus, there was now a time that all men and women of all backgrounds, of all ages, of all socioeconomic statuses from all over the planet, they too could receive the Holy Spirit. They could be washed of all of their sins and wrongdoings, and they could be part of this glorious gathering that we call the church or the community of Jesus followers. And Peter uses Joel as a text, and from it, he points out a very important truth for us. He's speaking from the prophet Joel chapter 2, but this is the recap of what he says in Acts chapter 2, verses 17. He says, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. women. In those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I think it's important language for us to pay attention to that Peter didn't say or repeat the words of the prophet Joel, and God didn't give the words to the prophet Joel to say that I will drop a little sprinkles of the Holy Spirit, but that I would pour out my Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is something that envelops us. It engrosses us. It's something that is poured into us. And there's an abundance of the Holy Spirit that God promises that in those days that would happen, that it would take place. It would take place on this day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit would pour out on men and women. And the Holy Spirit is still to this day pouring out onto men and women. This is the church that we are a part of today. The same Spirit that fell on the apostles is the same Spirit that lives in us today. It is the same Spirit leading this church. It is the same Spirit that fuels our ministries. It is the same Spirit that moves us and makes us. It is the same Spirit that transforms us and convicts us. It is the same Spirit that teaches us and prepares us and corrects us and prepares us and lives in us. Pentecost Sunday is a day to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it has invaded our space to transform all of us. Amen? Amen. And it's from this place that I'd like to launch into speaking about how the Holy Spirit worked during last week. For those of you who are new or visiting with us, we just completed a ministry called Central Ohio Work Camp. Central Ohio Work Camp is a ministry that started about 15 years ago when a friend of mine by the name of Adam Metz, another friend by the name of Nate Holton, Adam's wife Mary Beth Metz, we all got together and began to discuss how can we get our youth groups together and serve in a collaborative effort. You know, there's enough competition between churches. We don't want more competition. We want collaboration. And what can we do to come together and serve together and make a difference in the community? And there was born Central Ohio Work Camp in 2005. And in 2005, we served together and we painted one house. I was the crew leader. So in those days, we had three crews, and I was crew number one. And we painted a house in the city of Delaware. We painted some trim on another house in northern Delaware. And we did some yard work for about three or four properties in that area. Three crews that got all that work done. And now the 15th version of Central Ohio Work Camp. This year, we painted or endeavored to paint eight homes all over Central Ohio, Columbus area. This year provided some significant challenges that I've been sharing throughout the past several weeks. Adam and Mary Beth Metz are enjoying sabbatical. I think they're on day 14 of their sabbatical. Last I read, they were in Northern Ireland right now. They're going to be there for a couple months. And so it left a lot of the administrative work to be done by me. Administration is something that I, quite frankly, do not love to do. But let me tell you how the Holy Spirit works, because we hired a couple to come work with us, Paul and Ellie McClarty. Alum Creek hired an intern to work with them, a guy by the name of Jonathan Bunnell. And together, as the administrative team, we did okay. We did better than okay, especially because people like Paul and Ellie would come to me and say, Dion, you don't have to do that. We can do that. Let me help. People like Rebecca Johnson, you know, hey, let me help. I can do that. People like, you know, Cameron Bar, hey, I can do that. Let me help. And so, again, this is a collaborative effort, and we did it. The kids, we all stay at Otterbein University in Westerville, right by Uptown Westerville. Again, it's a collaboration of churches. We have a church that comes from Kokomo, Indiana, Center Road Church of Christ. We have a church that comes from Cincinnati, Central Church of Christ. We also were blessed several years ago One of the members at the Central Church of Christ, her mother attended the Methodist church that's on campus there, and the Methodist church there said that while you're here, you can use our building for free for your meals, and if you need some recreation, you can use the building. Again, collaboration, that's where we ate our meals and had base most nights. Again, we painted 8 homes. We painted a few homes in the Linden area. We painted and did some work on a home in Franklinton. We did about 2-3 homes in the Hilltop area, and we did a home in Marion Village that I'm going to come back to later on and talk some more about that. There were thousands of dollars spent on paint and supplies and gas and food and water and all types of other items that we needed to make this work camp a success. The theme for the week, when we met together on Sunday night, I wanted the kids and crew leaders and adults to think about this word called stewardship. Whenever we hear stewardship in church, people begin to prepare for like a talk on money. And while there is a context by which stewardship and money do fit together, I wanted us to be thinking about stewardship with some other things in mind. I wanted us to think about stewardship in 3 major areas. The first area is stewardship, which stewardship means taking care of something that doesn't belong to you. You know, as a steward of someone else's house, you are taking care of, you don't own that house, but you take care of that house. So I felt like stewardship, as we were given permission to paint other people's homes, I can tell you that when I met with homeowners and said, hey, we're going to have some teenagers on ladders and painting your homes, there were sometimes some looks of concern, not just for their safety, but they didn't want us to come and mess their homes up. And so I wanted to impress upon everyone there that we had to be good stewards of these homeowners' homes. We had to take care of their homes. That means we had to be neat. That means we had to be respectful. That means we had to do whatever the homeowners asked of us and take care of their property. We were staying at Otterbein University, and so it was important for us to take care of the dorms. That means we want to leave it better than it was when we got there. That means, you know, picking up our trash and throwing it away and not breaking items and again, being respectful in the dorms. The second area I wanted us to think about stewardship was taking care of God's earth. You know, we were gonna be outside. And so we weren't going to litter. We were going to take care of what God has created, and we want to take that very, very, very serious. I take Genesis very seriously when God says He created us to have dominion over the earth. That doesn't mean like rule it and trash it. That means take care of it. And then the third area, since people are the crown jewel of God's creation, I wanted us to think about taking care of other people, taking care of each other. That meant as we interacted, as you met people, as you did things together as a camp, that we were going to be mindful of each other. If you saw someone sitting by themselves and a group of people were going to go to Grater's to go get ice cream, I wanted the group to say, hey, why don't you come with us to get some ice cream? Well, I don't have any money. Yeah, I got you. I got you covered. Because we take care of each other. So taking care of other people's stuff, taking care of God's creation, and taking care of each other. What I want to do now is just show you some highlights from Central Ohio Work Camp 15. So here's about a 9.5-minute video, and you will see some of the things that took place. The way that the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit was poured out on campers, on crew leaders, on teenagers as we went to do this fantastic work. Central Ohio Work Camp 15. That was my man, RJ, from over on Seymour Avenue, one of the neighbors that came over and continue to just applaud the kids on what they were doing. And yes, he had a gold tooth with his initials on it. What we know about what took place during last week is that there were stories that were already being written that, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit led us to participate in their stories and in some way even rewrite some stories and narratives, but stories nonetheless. When we come back to campus and we get cleaned up, we go to dinner and we have some activity, and then at night we come back to the dorm and we just sit down and have, you know, short devo, and we have story time. You know, what happened at your site today? And there's some funny stories, and then there's some more serious stories. You know, one of the crews, they were on Seymour Avenue. They were painting a house of a woman by the name of Miss Dolores. Miss Dolores is probably in her 90s. She's in poor health. Arthritis is really bad. But every day, and those who are on crew run, Kira and Aaron, Doug Sands went over there for a day to help out. Every day she sat on her enclosed porch and she watched, and I quote, my babies serve her. And all the while they were working, Miss Dolores is on that porch praying. And before that crew left every day, the crew went inside that enclosed porch and they joined hands with Miss Dolores and they prayed, and each one of them gave her a hug, and she patted each one on the back of their leg. That was her way of showing them a special kind of love. Stories. There was a story of working on a house of a man who was a disabled vet. He was in a horrific motorcycle accident. And he would come out, and I think this was the house that Caitlin was on. Caitlin was a crew leader for the first time this year, for the first time in work camp. And he would come out, and he wouldn't say much, and sometimes he'd shake his head. And sometimes the crew leaders are like, I don't know if he likes it, or if he's being critical, or if he did say this. It was kind of being critical. I went to that house as I was wrapping up and cleaning up and doing some things, and he came out and he said, you know, the city came to me as a disabled vet and they said that they were gonna help me, and I'm still waiting. And he said, the community that he lives in, Linden, they got all these grants and they came to me and they said they were gonna help me. I'm still waiting. He said, you came a few weeks ago and said, I'm gonna paint your house for free. And you delivered. That's a testimony for the church. That when others wouldn't deliver, we delivered. There's stories to be told. There's stories about a woman that lives in Franklinton who works for the YWCA and spends her day helping other people, helping people who are homeless. Yet she has very little people in her life to help her. And so you had a crew on her house. You didn't see them a lot because she was at work most of the day. But here's a story where she now can say, somebody helped me. That was a real colorful house with the greens and the oranges and the beiges. And I'm not allowed to say this, but that was my favorite one. There are stories to be told. And then there's a story of a woman that I would dare not share unless she had given me permission to share her story, because it's a significant story. And it was probably the most challenging project that we have ever taken on at Central Ohio Work Camp. Because we're a painting camp. You know, we don't do roofing, we don't do carpentry. We try to do the best as we can, and if a crew happens to have someone who's able to do light carpentry work and things, we'll do that. But this woman lives in Marion Village, very beautiful area of Columbus, right on the edge of German Village. I thought it was German Village. Very large house. And if you could tell from one of the photos, there was a photo of a porch that was full of things. She is an admitted hoarder. And according to those who she works with the city, one of the worst cases that they have ever seen. And so when I met with the crews on Sunday night and we got the crew, they were crew number two, I said, listen, crew, I don't know if you will ever touch paint this week. And in fact, this week, your job is to just kind of do whatever she needs and to just do something. In fact, I'm not sure you're going to have any good, like, before, after pictures. She's a hoarder. And when you begin to throw things out, she's probably going to want to bring those things back in. I didn't ask his permission. This is kind of on the spot, but we kind of rehearsed it because we did this at work camp. So that, I'm trying to give him a heads up if he's not paying attention to the sermon. But hey, Jesse, I need you to come up here, man. I need a mic. Can I have a mic? Is this Wendy's mic?
Yeah.
Okay. You turn on Wendy's mic for me. Is it on? It's on. It's on. Hey, Jesse. Jesse worked on crew number two, and I want him to tell you, and again, we want to be respectful to Miss Leslie, so we don't want to divulge everything that you saw, but could you just share with the group what it was like when you showed up on Monday morning to Miss Combs' house?
Well, my initial reaction at first was, wow, this is like a lot of stuff, and like, you know, to my eye, I was just thinking, like, this is a lot of trash, like, and that's like pretty bad, but you know, like, everyone in my crew was thinking that too. They were like, you know, this is just a bunch of stuff. How are we gonna deal with this? How are we gonna step past this? And she came out, we met her, and we were talking to her, and she was like, yeah, and we were like, what do you wanna do with, you know, some of this stuff, talking about starting to work, and then she was like, oh, it's just all trash. And then, like, you know, she started, like, crying, and we were like, don't cry, it's okay, we're just here to help. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard for her to get past that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, when you walked on the front porch, I mean, it's a very, very large porch, and it was probably chest high with items, and that was just the porch, because then there was the walkway towards the backyard, and then there was the backyard, and there it was just significant. And so, you know, you mentioned something that she just had this attachment to stuff. What did you think about that as you just began to work throughout the week?
Well, she had this, like, one broken rocking chair. I think I talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
She had this broken rocking chair, and then we were like, oh, well, it was rotten wood, it was in shambles, and it was, like, green and fuzzy from all the stuff growing on it. And we asked her, like, what do you want to do with this? And she was like, oh, well, it was my brother's, and I can't stand to get rid of it, so put it over there. And I was like, oh, well, those are brothers, you know? I mean, I guess that makes it better, but there was, like, all this stuff in her backyard, and then she had this, like, broken pot, and then she was like, oh, yeah, that's a toad hut. And we were like, a what? And then she goes and puts it in the garage and says, yeah, I just saw a toad in here the other day, and I'm gonna make a little house for this toad out of this pot. And I was like, wow, this stuff, like, you know, she has a lot of creativity. This stuff kind of means something to her, but to us, it just kind of looked like not much, but to her is a toad hut and her brother's chair.
Yeah. And so what was cool, and the reason why I wanted to bring Jesse up, is because I was talking with him, I think it was like Tuesday night, and we were talking about sort of just being overwhelmed with someone who has all of this stuff and not having an understanding of why people would keep all of that stuff. But what was interesting is that Jesse took a turn. I didn't provoke it. I mean, Jesse just kind of made this turn where he began to talk about her attachment to stuff. And she said, he was kind of like, I guess it's kind of no different than the way we attach ourselves to stuff. Because remember, you're talking about when, like, your mother threw away some, like, tell me that story.
When I was younger, me and my brother, we had a lot of toys in our room. And
by younger, he means like last year. Okay, go ahead.
Hardy har har.
Okay.
Um, But yeah, we had all these toys, and then one day we came back and our room was like clean. We were like, whoa, we didn't do this. And then my mom was like, yeah, say thank you. And we were like, oh, thanks. And she cleaned our room for us, and then by the next day afternoon, it was all trashed again. So then we went and left for school. When we come back, and she's sitting there on the floor putting all of our toys in a trash bag because she was saying, like, I can't trust you guys to keep your room clean much longer, so we're just going to throw this stuff away. And me and Keenan were bawling our eyes out over it. And then, but like by the next day, we were like, forgot about it. It was like nothing. It was pretty like unimportant to us just because we were like, oh, well, it's said and done. It's over.
But in the moment.
In the moment, it meant like
so
much.
In the moment, it meant so much. And so when we began to think about Miss Combs and her attachment to self, you can see why there were moments when you were throwing things away. She cried. And the bewilderment and amazement of all of that began to be turned into compassion. Because you began to think about, yeah, I guess we all have attachment to things. We may not have attachment to thousands of things. I shared this, you know, I mean, I'm being confessional here, but we have a rocking chair in our room that I've been trying to get rid of for a long time because no one sits on it unless clothes are people. But one of the reasons why we probably don't throw away is because that was the rocker that mama rocked baby to sleep on and nurse the baby. We all have attachment to things. And so one of the things that we had to do with Miss Combs is ask her to let go of some things. Now, you watched some transformation. And let me be honest with you. I had no confidence that Crew 2 would open a can of paint. The crew leader was like, hey, we need some white paint. I kept saying, for what? But as you can see, that house, they not only put white paint on the house, they put teal paint on the house and pink paint on the house, and they cleaned that entire porch. And I didn't even show you the backyard, church, and I didn't even show you the garage that they painted. And that was all, the only reason that was able to get done is because there came a point where Miss Leslie allowed these Holy Spirit-filled kids and adults convince her that it was okay to let go of some things. So how did it feel Friday when you looked at that house, saw that porch, saw those white columns painted, saw that peak painted with all that purple or that green and pink trim? How did that make you feel, and how did it make Miss Leslie feel?
It made me feel relieved that, you know, everything got done and we actually got that much work done. For her, she was so excited and she was so happy to see that her house had got painted and it looked really nice with those cool colors of pink and teal in the windows, and it was really phenomenal.
Awesome. Jesse, you worked hard during the week when you were working. I caught you some pictures when you were working, but thanks so much for participating. Good job. Perry and I and others, we were talking about the struggle with short-term missions, and the struggle with short-term missions is that you go and you help people and then you leave, and then you wonder all year, like, how are they doing? What I told Miss Leslie when I left her on Friday, I said, I'll be back next week. I'm going to come back next week to see if you made a promise. She says she's not going to put anything back on her porch. For now, she wants to refinish the floors. They didn't finish doing all the jobs. But what I thought is that perhaps this is a call for us and others to be good stewards and to take care of Miss Leslie and to check in every week and to ask her, how are you doing? Okay, what can we come over and do? She has no clue how to sand down floors and refinish them. I'm guessing someone here does. Well, let me know. And let's go over and let's refinish her floors. We had a challenge with 32-foot ladders, a challenge of securing them and getting them used, and a challenge of getting someone brave enough to go up a 32-foot ladder. but on the east side of her house. Her peaks needs to be done. There's exposed wood, and she's going to get violations. We have the paint. We have to go back, and we need to go finish that. I'm imagining that some of us here want to go do that and continue to be a good steward and continue to encourage her to let go of some things. And I feel that there is no better call for each and every one of us at whatever place we are in our life to let go of some things. And so if there is a message that the Holy Spirit, I think, was driving through to each camper, each adult, to me, is that I know it's hard. I know it's fearful. You get filled with anxiety when you're asked to let go of something. And I'm not just talking about a rocking chair or a possession. I'm talking about some attitudes. I'm talking about some feelings. I'm talking about some addictions. I know you get stirred up and overwhelmed with, you cry. But it wasn't until Miss Leslie finally let go that she was able to see what her home could really look like and how she could enjoy that porch more than she had ever since she's lived in that home. And it was hard. And she relapsed several times during the week. They'd take stuff out to the trash, and she'd go to the trash, and she'd take it back. But by the end of the week, Leslie was saying to this group, "In my entire life, I have never been treated so lovingly and kindly." And she is now sharing her testimony with others that some people came in my space, they didn't judge me, they loved me, and they served me. And it allowed me to let go so that I can experience something better. So one of the reasons why we have to take serious our position as Holy Spirit-driven people is that there is a message for us to receive first, to let go, to let God, and then to go and tell others, let go and let God. This was Central Ohio Work Camp 15, and it was made possible by you all. You gave money, you gave time, you prayed, you encouraged, and I thank you so much. God bless you for making this possible. God is the God of this city. And what I like to say all the time is that we're going into the neighborhoods not to take God to the neighborhoods. We're going to meet God in the neighborhoods and to perform with him, to partner with him in what he is already doing. And I pray that we will do that in everything that we do, not just Central Ohio Work Camp, but Wednesday night cookouts and Sunday worship and what you do at your jobs, what you do at school, what you do in your neighborhoods, every ministry that we do, that we will partner with God to transform this world. At this time, I invite the praise team to come forward. We'll sing a verse of a song that's very pertinent as we celebrate the success of Central Ohio Work Camp. Looking forward to Central Ohio Work Camp 16 next year, probably the first or second week of June. But it's also a reminder that God is a God of this city, and let's meet him in this city. And it's also a message to say that God is the King and God of your life. And whatever is holding you back from giving your life fully and totally to him, it's my encouragement that today you let that go. Just let it fully go. And let God fill you with his Holy Spirit and transform you. And maybe today is a day you say, "Yes, Jesus, transform me, make me new. I need a new paint job. I need a clearing. Fill me. Call on his name. Be baptized into Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Let's sing.